paragraph, which is really the translation of these four. The subject that we are dealing with tonight is a continuation of what he calls here individual providence. That is, the way Hashem cares for every individual. Now, you've done a certain amount of it, and you will remember that there was one overriding rule, and that is that in the world there are good people and bad people, and people who don't fall into the category of being righteous, and people who don't fall into the category of being wicked. But the principle is that the righteous are people whose majority deeds, and we are speaking quantitatively and qualitatively, whose majority deeds are good and the minority are bad. The wicked whose majority of deeds are bad and the minority are good. And everything has got to be paid for, and the reason it's got to be paid for is because amongst the powers that are in the universe is the power of justice. Here, if you will allow me to digress for a moment or two, we are completely at loggerheads with the secular world when it comes to the question of the power of justice. The power of justice is an absolute power. And it is not a concept, but it is a power. And it will become clearer in a moment. Now, the secular world says that there is no such thing as justice. Justice is relative. And consequently, when a man like Bork is being examined by the Senate or by the Congress or by representatives of both, whether he is a suitable man to be a Supreme Court judge, he puts a case for absolute justice. And he says that it is his duty to understand absolute justice, interpret it to the best of his ability, and apply it. Kennedy doesn't agree with him. He says, no, we've got to see what suits the people and what the people want. And then that becomes justice. But there isn't such a thing as absolute justice. Now, you can follow the divergence already. And it's not only in the question of justice, but it is in many other things also. So you can already see Kanabasya. I know that Betty is far more beautiful than I'm handsome, but at the moment I'm far more interested than she is. Right. We've got a situation here that I have to explain to you what the total view of justice is. Minds have become so distorted in California that people have got no idea what justice really is. Justice is not a concept, but it is a power. And this power sees to it that justice exists. Now, it is interesting. There's been a terrible Yerida Sadonis, of course. I still remember Goyim, who were quite different from what Goyim are today. Never mind Jews, who are quite different from what Jews are today. But if one goes back a little more than 100 years, one has an English historian, and at a time when the world, that is the Western European world, was trying to find out whether there is a pattern in history. And Freud said, there is really no pattern in history. They wanted to know, is it cause and effect? Is everything cause and effect? Or is there another pattern? He said that there is one pattern only. And that is that somehow or other, in the end, righteousness triumphs and evil suffers. That is the only pattern. You see, it may take a very long time, but those nations, he deals with nations, he's an historian, he says those nations who have been good, somehow or other, they will survive. And those nations that have been evil, they will disappear. And that is what he tells us. Now, this is a goy who said this about 120 years ago. James Anthony Froude.
Froude? F-R-O-U-D?
F-R-O-U-D-E. So we see that there was an understanding there that there is a power of justice, and this power of justice is active and it's working all the time. Now that is our belief. You want to ask me any questions on this? Yes.
Power, does that refer to, I don't think so, but like the powers of different nations?
Anything. There is a power over nations. There is a power greater than man, a power over nations. And it is a power with which God, it's an instrument with which God operates in this world, so to say. I'm simplifying, and when one simplifies, there's always a danger of an oversimplification. I'm simplifying it. It is one of the tools, it is one of the instruments which Hashem uses in this world. And this is an instrument of power. Justice is power. It is a power. It is very strong. You know, there's such a thing as X-rays. And these rays have got a power. There's such a thing as a laser beam. And the laser beam has got a power. Now, this is a power in the world. And it is a power that sees to it that somehow or other, justice has got to prevail. Very often, several times in the Psalms, David HaMelech speaks about the man that digs a pit for another one, and he falls into that pit. Now, in the course of my experience, I've seen that happen over and over again, where a man has done something and he wants to harm a certain person, and in the end it turns out that that very thing that he created to harm somebody else, he is the one that suffers from it here. That's what David HaMelech says. So the way we understand it is, that is a power of justice that sees to it that that is what happens. Yes, Siva.
But the Rav has mentioned before that Hashem doesn't disprove the power of justice.
Yes, now you've got to be very careful of that. That is Shakespeare's influence. And Shakespeare isn't always right. In fact, Ben Jonson finds out that there are 2,200 cases which he cites where Shakespeare was wrong. But the important thing is that this is, and it has to be justice. Just has to be. It will work out. So the idea would be it would be only justice. Of course, Hashem created mercy also, and there is mercy. The mere fact that there is tshuva can only be because there is mercy. So of course the mercy comes into it. But I'm speaking particularly about the case of justice. And it is good to see, I learn a tremendous amount of things, you know. I had a doctor friend once. He was quite a bit older than I was, and his grandfather was also a doctor. And his grandfather belonged to two generations before him. And he came from Germany, and he came to South Africa, and there he had to study the last 3 years over again, and he was working in the hospital. And he told me that his grandfather used to tell him what happens if certain diseases are neglected. He said he knew it only theoretically, and his grandfather had actually seen it. But he had known it only theoretically. When he came to South Africa and he had to work in the hospitals for the blacks, and the blacks used to come in from the country and they wouldn't go to a doctor, they go to a witch doctor. So after the witch doctor has done all the damage, then they came. And then he saw for the first time what he used to read in the textbooks, what can happen if these diseases aren't treated. So since I'm in California, the tailor speaks, what can happen? And to me it is only theoretical. And when I came to California, there I see it is. Quite a different, you understand it very much better, one understands it very much better. And when I saw what was going on with Bork and with how he was being questioned, and he didn't stand a chance. because he believed that that justice was absolute, that there is justice. And the people who examined him didn't believe it. They were complete secularists. They believed that it was relative. And if it's relative, then you do what the people want, and that must become the law. So it's a very big difference. It's completely a complete divergence from our idea of it. And of course, this is brought about a distortion of a view of justice. And you see the most terrible things happening. What is happening today, that the aggressor has got the sympathy and not the victim. The aggressor gets every assistance, but not the victim. The criminal is helped, but not the victim. And the victim suffers even more when he or she especially sees that the one who, the aggressor gets off with it. He gets away with it. Not only gets he away with it, but through the whole court case, the victim sees that it's all weighted on the side of the aggressor. He's got to be defended. It's very bad for a person. For the victim, it's very bad. And it's all part of this thing. There is no such thing as justice. Now, there are schools of psychiatry, not one school, but schools, and they are by far in the majority. That says also there's no evil, that anybody with the same background and in the same circumstances and with the same chemistry of his body will do exactly the same thing as anybody else. There's no individuality even. That is what they say. And it's only very, very recently, and it is a result of a certain psychiatrist that was put in one of the high security prisons, might have been in St. Quentin's, Saint Law. Are we pardon? But Saint means saint, doesn't right. it? You have to master. High security prison. It can happen only in California. Now, and he came out of it, he was working in this prison for 3 months, he had to be there for 3 months, and he came out and he gave a paper, and one of the people who were present when he gave the paper told me he was devastated, and he said, don't believe that there isn't a power of evil, there is a power of evil, and it's a power, that I saw it in these people, that it's evil. It's not that everybody would do the same thing under the same circumstances. All right, but we are speaking, I gave you the example of justice. And justice is something that has to be done. So, the good that a person does has to be rewarded. The evil that a person does, he must pay for it. And I explained to you that this world is the place for the minority. The minority of deeds of a righteous man are bad. He gets paid for them in this world. The minority of the deeds of a wicked man are the good deeds. He gets paid for them in this world. And that is the general principle. But it's only a very general principle, and we've got to be very careful that if we see a man that is very successful and he's got a lovely, easy life, and everything goes his way, we mustn't say he's a wicked person who's being paid for what he does here. And Seema was very worried about this, and she's been very worried about it for a long time. We mustn't say that, and it's not true. And on the other hand, if a man, we mustn't say that he's wicked. If it doesn't go well with a wicked person, we mustn't think that he must be a righteous person. He must be from the Lamedbof Tzaddikim. He must be of the 36th Tzaddikim, because he's a wicked man, and it's going well with him, or whatever it might be. Now, so here we are on paragraph 4, pages 112 and 113. Now he says, there is the omnom od sibo acheres nimteisho hema bidanche hamishpot vihagmu. When it comes to the question of justice and reward, and please remember, I'm telling you this, I tell you this over and over again, because I must drive it home to you, that reward is not to be considered what we normally regard as a reward. It's not the candy that you give to a child because he's been good. That's not the reward. And it's not the smack that you give to the child because he's been naughty. The reward is something that comes out of itself. You find that a person studies medicine and he goes through a terribly difficult time. He's got to study very hard, he can't go out and enjoy himself, he can't go to dances, he can't go to sports, he's got to study. And then when he's finished his studies, he's not finished his studies. For how many years he's still got to be an intern? And then when there's an intern, they work for 36 hours without to stop very often. No sleep for 36 hours. They've just got to get through. And then they get a few hours sleep and they've got to be back at it again. Is it worth it? It takes 10 years. 10 years in one run. Is it worth it? Oh, yes, of course it's worth it. And then he starts immediately with a very high salary. His earnings are immediately very high. And he's a made man. So, that is his reward. Hard work, that is his reward. And so it is with the case of a person who does evil. In the end, he suffers himself from all his evil. And that the evil is brought out very well in Oscar Wilde's
portrait, the
picture of Dorian Gray. There it's brought out very well, where Dorian Gray and his friend, who isn't very much better than he is at the beginning, comes a time when his friend says to him, but you can't do these sort of things, it's not right, and he doesn't care. And eventually, the very worst happens to him, which he will speak about just now. So he says, now there is another cause that can, another reason for things that happen to a people, but it also belongs to justice and reward. From the deeds of man himself, Hashem can help him to achieve perfection. Don't forget that the idea that man is here on the earth is to achieve perfection. So, through man's own deeds, Hashem helps him in his perfection, to gain perfection. So, what it means is, the effort that a person does, his own effort. If he does his own effort, it explains in Chazal, the derech she'odom rotzeh loleches bo, mesayneso. In the way that a man wants to go, and he makes the effort, Hashem helps him to go that way. And when we speak about siyata dishmayo, heavenly help, divine help, that is what it means. Shemi, a man is trying to go in a certain way, and God helps him to go in that way. So God makes it easier for him to achieve his perfection. And God protects him from pitfalls. As it is said in Shmuel, Hashem, God, the footsteps or the feet of his pious ones. Now, you mustn't rely too much on this, because there are degrees. It depends how, with what intensity a person wants to do the right thing. For example, just let me try and give you an example. You've got a child, and the child is doing wrong. Let us say he's doing wrong, because boys are not quite as good as girls. At least, before you leave as adults, they weren't quite as good as girls. Now, it's exactly the same. They are just as bad as each one is just as bad as the other. So, a boy or girl is doing wrong. So the father says, all right, I'm giving you till then you've got to change. Now, I mean, that's the worst type of education you can possibly have. By then you've got to change now. But till then it's all right, you can go on like this, but I'm giving you till then. Well, the father doesn't get any siyata dishmaya there. Then he doesn't get any help. It doesn't mean anything to him. How much does it mean to him? The boy or the girl doesn't get any help. But where the father goes all out, and he says, this has got to stop immediately, takes the child and his pains, and he works with him, and does everything possible to help the child, there he gets the Yad Ishmael. Otherwise he doesn't get it. But 6 months later, now he's going to come down. He won't get any Yad Ishmael there, it's finished. But if he's going to really, and the mother really going to do, it's a great Yad Ishmael. So there are madregas, yes, there are different levels, there are different degrees of it. So one parent can have more siyata d'ishmael, another parent can have less siyata d'ishmael with the bringing up of the children. If you don't make an effort to bring up your child properly, you get no siyata d'ishmael. If your child can be up until all hours of the night, it doesn't matter. If your child can break the furniture and he's a good little boy, and he needs to get this out of his system, you don't get any Siyat HaDishmael. But if you educate your children properly, then great Siyat HaDishmael is there. So he says, it depends, there are degrees. Ki yimotzei echot sheshura sadin pitin kipi masam shekabor oso, sheazrei abore yisborach ezer ma'ot. We'll get one person that Hashem judges him by what he's already done, and his Siyat HaDishmael, the assistance that Hashem gives it is a little, is very little. The Achayel, and you get another person, Shedino here, she has very either Yosef Bodu, that the way he has conducted himself, Hashem helps him to a greater degree, the Yokelo Lova Soga Sashlemus Kalus Rav, and to achieve perfection, human perfection as far as possible, is considerably easier for this person. Now he gets a lot of help from heaven. The Achayel, and then you can get a third person who gets a maximum amount of help from Hashem. So it depends upon the degree. Now, when I was studying, I saw examples of this. But the Pono Vizhirov once told me of how he was learning together with Rebbe Chonah Wasserman in Telge. They were paired together, and the Pono Vizhirov told me he couldn't learn with Rebbe Chonah Wasserman. The Pono Vizhirov has a wonderful mind, and Rebbe Chonah didn't. It was slow. And the Pono Vizhirov told me, he said, I couldn't learn with him. I had to give it up. But did Rebbe Chonah Wasserman put in effort? The effort that he put in, and over the years, he became a Gadol b'Yisrael. And he caught up with the Pono Vizhirov. And still a few years, and he became the Gadol b'Yisrael. That greatness, but the amount of work he put in, just never stopped. The amount of work he put in, a tremendous amount of Siyata Ishmael. Depends on the day I saw it with my colleagues. As my fellow students who were studying, there were some that were not so good and put in a tremendous amount of effort, and how they progressed and how they advanced. It's just unbelievable. So that is on the positive side, the help one gets from heaven. So you will see a person that is getting a lot of things are going his way, and he's getting a lot of help. He says, but it can be the reverse also. I just want to give the Sina a chance. She can come back. Have you gone?
Yeah.
Yes, certainly.
Yes. Isn't it also the way that the person used the help of Hashem and Hashem? There are some people who are never satisfied with the help that Hashem. I mean, it's great help that Hashem is giving them, but they always say, Hashem is not giving me any help.
Well,
and yet, they really are getting
well, from Hashem. Well, we're going to see that it's... Yes. Can you stay, Sima?
Yes, but the problem is
you have to be smart.
What did the lover say after this fight?
His father.
His father.
Yeah.
I just want it can be vicarious also. Mm-hmm. So, by how much you want to stay, by how much you want to stay, you can also help. All right. Well, he said, so we see that the only it can be a little, it can be more, and it can be most, depending on the person, how much he deserves it. And one of the factors in the amount the Tiyato Dishmaya is, Tiyato Dishmaya is commensurate with one's own effort. Greater the effort. Those are one of the factors. I'm giving you an example of a factor to be makare veladan, so make it easier to understand. And now he says the chay behefer, but the reverse is also true. Kavoi motay miyishe kapi adini yeroi shelel yazru minay shemay. You get the type of person present to come to the strictly excluded that doesn't deserve any help at all from heaven. Doesn't deserve anything. Ach lo hichi o lo vasogat hashleimut. And yet, the ach lo hichi o lo vasogat hashleimut. But he doesn't find it difficult to work on perfection. The achay shemitshpote yeter sheyarbu lo hoi kruvim v'itztorich lechil de godov omer rab archi yasigenu. So he says, now you can also get a person, and we're speaking about a good person, where he gets no help from heaven. But he can work on perfection, and it's very difficult. And it's not difficult. Getting perfection is not difficult. And he hasn't got to work too hard. The You'll get another person that, on the contrary, God makes it very difficult for him to achieve perfection. And he needs great strength and a tremendous amount of work for him to get perfection. Take a person like Rebbe Cholem Wasserman. How he had to work, and when he was working, he didn't get any Tiyato Dishmaya. Seems not right, does it? We'll soon see the reason. And then, of course, you get a person who is absolutely wicked. Then a person who is absolutely wicked, he gets no help from Hashem at all, and he is completely rejected. But there are all details in all of this. Now, let me give you an example, and you can see that we can just observe and be able to understand a little bit, but we can't understand how God works. We can only see the various possibilities there. Take a person like Rebbe Cholem Wasserman. When he started, he had no Tiyato Dishmaya at all. That was the gift that Hashem gave him, that he had to work himself. And Hashem knew that here's a man that was working, doesn't get any Tiyato Dishmaya, it's all his own. All his own, gets no help at all, until he breaks through. But when he breaks through, he's a much greater man that he is for having done it all himself than if he would have had Tiyato Dishmaya. Am I making myself clear? And so you get the Vilna Gaon, a Malach came to him and offered to help him. There are things that he found difficult to understand, and offered to help him, and he rejected him. The author of the Shulchan Aruch had the same offer made, and he accepted it. And then he wrote a work, Magid Meishorim, what he learned from the angel. And my uncle tells me once, and he said, the angel didn't know too much. So it's better to do it on one's own. That's the exact word. The angel didn't know too much. That's all that he said. And there are lots of things that my uncle tells me, and I didn't have the audacity to ask him to explain. I just used to listen to him. It was only in the last years that I used to ask him to explain. But I'm sorry, there are lots of things that he told me I should have asked him. In what way? What way didn't he know too much? And he would have told me. He told him this and this, and that isn't isn't quite right, whatever it is. So yeah, now you see how difficult. You find the person learning together with the Rebbe Chonon Wasserman. The other person gets a lot of Siyata Dishmaya, and the Rebbe Chonon Wasserman doesn't get any Siyata Dishmaya. Hashem knows that the Rebbe Chonon Wasserman can take it. He won't give up. He can take it. The other one, if he doesn't get any Siyata Dishmaya, he's going to give up in the middle. Now, the Motor Gifter studied with me. There were, in the yeshiva, there were people better than Motor Gifter. And not one, there were many. But today he is greater than any of those that were better than he. He's greater than they. Just surpassed them all. But in every way. Not only in his learning, but in every way he surpassed them all. So these are the things that happen. So they are all there, very, very many details. The name means to So he says you can find a person here that in this life upon earth he has tremendous success and help in the work that he does. In his business, he can have tremendous success. And that is his means of achieving his perfection. So Hashem gives him the opportunity to achieve perfection in all his wealth. And I've often given you the example of Morris Tchaikovsky. Yeah, they call him Tchaikovsky. I've given you the example of him tremendously successful in what he did. And there is a man, Rabbi Talbot in Monsey. His charity account is $2 million a year. That's what he gives away. $2 million a year. I understand now he's got a little bit of difficulty. They're all having a lot of difficulty in the East. Now he's got two, and is it the IRS or the CBI or the FBI? What is it? IRS. And every year the IRS audits him. They just can't believe that he's giving all this money away. But that is he gives Mr. Rakowski tells me. He says, what's the problem? Rabbi Tassman. Mr. Rakowski tells me that Rabbi Tassman said, that you know, there are deals, Mr. Rakowski is in the same type of business. He says that there are deals where you make $5 million. He said, if you make one like that in your lifetime, it's a big thing. He said, but this man makes one after another, he makes deals like that. A tremendous Yad Bishmayo. But just look what he does. Now, he has created an institution for learning, which is a most necessary institution. And that is his training Dayanim. And this is the most necessary institution. He doesn't do it himself. He's got people to do it, but he supports it all. So, and he runs the Bernstein and all, and he supports this all. So, his wealth is there for a definite purpose. One realizes that. So, the etchish is here, Nigzor, Olof, Kepi, Masov, Evseidi, Vesorish, Yamdu, Kehova, Lofonov, Yavsiko, Benero, Benai, Shlemus. And then you'll get people that you just can't understand how difficult it is to break through. He says, and it may be because of his deeds aren't as pure as they should be. And a person like that needs more toil and more labor, and he must go through a tremendous amount of trouble until he breaks through. And he's got to exercise so much effort in order to achieve a measure of perfection. So it's possible that his deeds are not altogether pure. Now, I don't know whether he's going to speak here about it. He speaks about it in another place. And there is another way also, if he does speak about it, he's going to speak about it, you will find that the power of evil will see to it, it pays the power of evil, will see to it that a person gets success. But that success is his undoing. It's just his undoing. And everything goes his way. And we wonder, but why does he get it all? And he gets it all, but in the end, it proves to be his undoing. So, Sima, are you beginning to see how we can't really judge? All we can do is we can observe, and we can see, we can understand, we don't know what is happening with this particular person, but we can understand what the possibilities are. And now you get for the Rosha, you'll get anything goes his way. In order to give the opportunity that he should reach a stage of destruction, complete self-destruction and rejection. So that is, that can happen. So, Hashem, an onlooker will think, good heavens, what Siyata Dishmaya this Russia has got. It isn't Siyata Dishmaya. Hashem is giving that, and that is leading him to his own destruction. The Eshashi goes through a lot of sorrows. You know how so many of Eshashi are you without the lasses. And and it's also possible that a person, a wicked person, will get sorrows. Things won't go his way. He'll get sorrows in order to prevent him to do some evil he wants to do. And the evil he wants to do is going to harm other people. So Hashem will prevent him from doing that. So it's a sort of Siyata Dishmaya in reverse. That he, with his hatzlocho, if he would get paid for his good deeds, he would use that to harm another person. So Hashem put obstacles in his way. When God knows that it isn't right that evil should be done. And so God prevents it. And that is what David used to pray for. He says, oh Hashem, don't let the wicked man get his desires and let his thoughts not come to fruition. So, David had never said that opportunity shouldn't be given to man. Now, when we went through the last war, we saw this happening over and over again. Hitler's success in Russia. It was frightening to us. How he was going forward in Russia. 3 weeks, Poland, all of Poland was gone. Then he took the Nishino, went round the Nishino line, and in less than 3 weeks, Holland, Belgium, France, gone. Less than 3 weeks. Then he decided to attack Russia. The success he had when he attacked Russia, how he just went through and went through. And that was his undoing. It was so easy that he got, by the time the winter came, he thought he had his goal, he was already at Stalingrad. That is where his downfall was. So his success was to bring about his downfall. He would have been very much better off had he been successful in Russia. For him personally, would have been much better off. That he was led into it. And then he says, we have to take into consideration that Hashem, in his infinite wisdom, takes into account not only the individual, but he takes into account the whole of humanity. Now, he's not speaking yet about Jews. He only begins speaking about Jews at the end, at the very end of this chapter, at the beginning of chapter 4. Only then he begins speaking about it. But now he's speaking generally about humanity. He says, so Hashem, in his infinite wisdom, does things taking into consideration not only the individual, but the community as a whole. Now, I must explain something else to you. You know, when we, in our own life and in our own being, there is imperfection. And so, there are things that we have to do, and we know that we just can't help it. For example, it may be necessary that an individual has got to suffer for the benefit of the rabbi, for the benefit of the many. And we are unhappy about it. A judge has got to sentence a man, a very heavy sentence, he's got to send him to prison, and his wife and children are going to suffer, and they are innocent. They might be very good people. But he's got to sentence. So we can't help that. We can't have a perfect judgment. But Hashem's judgment, a good link or less, Hashem's judgment will be perfect. If Hashem judges and one person suffers and the innocent suffers, then there is a purpose in the innocent suffering. Otherwise Hashem wouldn't do it. That we know. And he will deal about it later. And then he judges the whole of humanity as if he failed. Now he gives you another case. You can get a person who is in a very fortunate position. Very fortunate position. Doesn't make use of it. He's got wealth. Doesn't use it the right way. Gives it away. He might even give charity. It's not charity. He gives it to things that aren't good. You can find that a man has got an excellent mind. Doesn't use it the right way. I think I told you about the young man that I had. And he was just one of these people, everything went his way. This young man just started university, no examination, always came on top of scholarship, he always won the scholarship. He had wonderful looks. Everybody just wanted to be his friend, everybody just threw themselves at his feet. And then he lost his mother. He was a beautiful young woman, then suddenly he lost his mother. And he came to see me to ask why this had happened to him. And he had a lot in him that said, that just using everything the wrong way, that was a tremendous amount in him. I thought, now I can speak to somebody who can take it. Who can take it. And I said to him, you ask why it happened to you. You ask that. Would you deserve that it shouldn't happen to you? Look how you ride roughshod over people. You get your own way. What don't you ever do? You take no notice of anybody. Well, that has an effect on him. And from that moment he changed. And then he went to Israel and got married, but married to a lovely girl. And he came to visit South Africa. He came to visit us. And I saw him in our lounge. And he said, would I take him and his wife into my study? And I took them into my study and showed his wife. He said, you know, I told you what brought about a change in my life. It happened in this study. I was sitting up. This is where it happened. And from that moment, he was a changed person. So, these are things that, that happen to a person. So he says, yes, the person is in a matzav of reva, everything goes his way. Look what he can do to reach perfection. Doesn't he? Now he is just more humble than a person to whom the matzav are so great. So he's from the love of self, a person who's got difficulty below yachting and today, and he doesn't think for himself properly. So the one who's got all the opportunities in that field, he does judge far more severely than the one that hasn't got the opportunities and doesn't do, or hasn't got those opportunities and that doesn't do. He may, Dinam Levi Shove, their judgment won't be the same. And a Yudan called effort to be mighty who the ever. But each one will be judged on his own merit. If Shove is amazing, does he do it?
Now, the wild part of this happened to me. It is a really interesting question. But everyone gives the answer before he gives the question. So, if a person has got no divinity, why should this happen to me? You never get the right answer. I give it to you. The person says, this is what has happened to me, you're in God. Now, why did I not ask that you asked for this question? Why did it happen to me? You're not going to get over that. So, the question, first you ask, I'll give the answer, and then you ask the question, and you come with the proper answer then. And then you can ask the question, and then you get the drop, otherwise you never get the drop. So, he says, well, you took a person that suffered in order that he should examine his deeds and be chosen. So only the single only when you see a catholic of the Hadi Lamana, but this is not a suffering of atonement. You have to think where the very should explain that a person does wrong. Now, if a person is unclean and impure, it cannot come unto the owner of the home. That's a new question. He doesn't get a, not only doesn't get a visa, he hasn't got a passport. So what do they do? Can't come. But I should give the opportunity to get it right. And one of the opportunities is suffering here upon earth and then to get it right. He doesn't say it is clean against him. And it gets it right. Another thing is to him, and he's talking about the death also. To get it right, that the opportunity is given, I think gives as much opportunity as possible for a man to come to the aid of the door. And it's a good type of thing. This type of is not for atonement and for cleansing, but this is in order to awaken you to Shiva, to learn the living emotion out of the heaven of Shiva. Because the punishment was only created for the place where there is an absence of Shiva. I will have you for the punishment of Shemaya, who shall have worked with the heaven. But what is most desirable for Hashem, before Hashem is, that a person should be saved. That was most desirable. But he worked with those virtues. And if he has them, then I can learn that he does true what he did. But he may show, and if a person doesn't eat them. So, the person has two, and the person doesn't eat them. Everybody counts for over my head. But I say one thing to have over my head. So this is the tension that is going by in order that he shouldn't be destroyed. It's any formation. He is cleansed the punishment by saying the way of securing the sin in her order. The faith of all comes pain and sorrow to awaken him to repentance. But he may be saying over all about him, and if a man does not be awakened to him, if he's gathered in sooner or later, then he gets the cleansing type of the punishment. So first of all, I show it makes him suffer in order that he can be saved. So he doesn't eat them, now he's got to be clean. Then he will get the other part of the suffering. They are in them very almost who by you will ultimately administer the way that he will shoot in the heaven. And me, I think a couple of minutes to explain this to you. And it is, really, who is one of Job's friends, he is the first and the last friend that comes to comfort Job, says this thing. By you get old man like yourself, God opens their ears to Musa. They can take it. And then listen to the Father. By their words, you will shoot in the open. And I say it is today that they should be saved from Israel. I wanted very much to go on to the book. That's where I got it up there. Verse 69 deals with a lovely idea, which we call it really high spiritual. And that means our soul gives the opportunity, gives an opportunity. At the point of time, that I've earned the chance, I've given the chance, now something else happens. But that's only very often. for Lefty Pentecost 9 and say so if any discussion that anybody wants, I'm going to be afraid of the blood of the flesh. So, Linda, what is your question?
What is the reward and the punishment for the first generation of this?
Thank you.